A few words like I am thine, thou art mine. Those are extremely powerful words if you mean it. Considering the word of that great saint of France, the curé d'Ars, when he said, if only you knew how much God loves you, you would die of joy. Therefore, that relationship has to be established, that deep intimacy with God has to be established by affirming, thou and I are one, thou and I are one, have always been one. Constantly affirming that you are with God, not saying you are a sinner separated from God. There is no sin who can ever separate you from God. The moment you repent and you turn toward God and say, my God, without you I am nothing. Please, do not let me forget thee. Do not forget me even though often I forget thee. Do not forsake me even though most of the time I forsake thee. Do not be indifferent unto me even though most of the time I am indifferent unto thee. When you speak to God like that, you are getting an audience. Believe me, he listens to you. So at this song in the Temple of Silence, learn that song. It's a very beautiful song. In the Temple of Silence, I will meet thee. That is that you can only know God through intuition. You cannot meet God through your thoughts. Your thoughts are the barrier between God and you. Therefore, in a temple of silence of the mind, I will meet thee. And through intuition, I will touch thee. I will love thee and coax thee in my temple of silence. And after a great many years of spiritual life, come that great ecstasy, one by one we'll go back to it. In samadhi, I will meet thee. Love thee, touch thee, and coax thee in my temple of bliss. Whether floating in birth or disappearing in death, in the ocean of divinity, the bubble of my life cannot die. I am indestructible consciousness. Protected in the bosom of spirit immortality. Om, peace, amen. I am the parrots and Brother Ramananda want to sell me. Yeah? Well, today I ask each one of you to use every ounce of your concentration. For you are going to receive such an avalanche of answer to your questions. Today, I'm going to make a clear difference between heaven, which is a state of cosmic consciousness, which extremely few people reach at the end of their life, and astral heaven, where many go into the astral world because of their righteous life during their standing on earth. Therefore, the subject today has a definite purpose, the Master said, which is to reawaken our divine memories of our lost paradise and to create in us a deep longing to return to our first love, or oneness with God, the beloved of our hearts. So what the Master is saying there, that this subject today is to try to reawaken within ourselves the memory that once we were in a state of cosmic consciousness. We are all cosmic beings. We all were once in cosmic consciousness and have been sent into creation by God in a state of cosmic amnesia. It is called the Leela of God, the play of God, in which we play hide and seek. He plays hide and seek with us until we have regained our divinity. Therefore, the Master says, scriptural definitions of heaven and hell sometimes stir men's deeper subconscious memories of his long series of experiences in the blissful celestial realm of the astral world and in a disappointing terrestrial world where the earth is dark with warfares and murders in the sea, in land and air. Now, the question is the astral world heaven? No. For the astral world has different school leading soul toward perfection. In the astral world, there is evil, tremendously evil realm, and tremendously spiritual realm. Therefore, this is the etymology of the word heaven, according to the Webster Dictionary. First, the dwelling place of the deity, and the joyful abode of the blessed dead. The second one is more correct. A spiritual state of everlasting communion with God. Actually, the word will be spirit, which means, or the absolute, a state of ever new blissful awareness of one's infinite existence. This is heaven, mean when you have regained your own Satchitananda, ever blissfully aware of your eternal existence. That is oneness with God. And third, a state of immortality in which sin is absent, and all manifestation of mind are harmoniously ordered under the divine principle. That would refer to the Christ consciousness state or cosmic mind. When you have the etymology of words by scholars, they can never reach the depths of realization which a master will give to you now. This is the word of Yogananda, what heaven means. The kingdom of heaven is not a land ruled by an autocratic divine king. It is a state of cosmic consciousness in which all dualities are abolished, and the consciousness of the loving King, God the Father, reign in the throne of all space in everlasting bliss and ever joyful love. In other words, when Jesus came into the world, or Krishna, or Buddha, or Yogananda, they came in a state of cosmic consciousness. They were human in their action, but at all times they remained in that state of cosmic awareness. Therefore, even in hell, like this planet, Jesus was in heaven. We are living in the heaven of their own cosmic awareness. Because once you have cosmic consciousness, you can never, never, and never again lose it. Once art, ever art. Once you've attained the ultimate, you're free. You may come back if God wants you to come back and you are willing, but you come back as an incarnation of God, playing the role of a human, but you remain consciously aware. Another question is, where is the astral heaven located? Now here, in the autobiography of a yogi, in the chapter of the resurrection of Sri Yukteswar, chapter 43, you will find most of the material I'm going to explain to you today. Sri Yukteswar had cosmic consciousness. He gives you explanation as a cosmic physicist. It will take a long time to Caltech to figure out what Sri Yukteswar is saying in his book, believe me. And in the Bible, the Genesis say, first chapter, verse 6 to 8, now listen very intensely, remember the words now. It will mean nothing to you until they are explained. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the water from the water. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. Now this means absolutely nothing to any one of us, isn't it? Now listen to the explanation. The explanation by a cosmic being. First from the Latin, firmamentum. Firmamentum means a strengthening, a support. In other words, the firmament is space. The support of the entire world is space. In the midst of the water, or cosmic energy, or vibratory, fluid-like electromagnetic electricity, and let it divide the water from the water, and separate cosmic electromagnetic energy into different rhythmic vibrations. God separated that light into various vibrations, under and above. Here comes the most accurate description ever given, where the astral world, by Sri Yukteswar in the resurrection of the book. The astral universe, made of various subtle vibrations of light and color, is 100 times larger than the material cosmos. The entire physical creation, with its billions of galaxies, hang like a little solid basket under the huge luminous balloon of the astral world. Colossal balloon of the astral universe, and a little creation with billions of galaxies, a little creation is hanging right under it. And what separates the two? The space. It is why Albert Einstein, he felt that space, he was very suspicious about that. What was behind that space? Einstein was intuitively knowing space was hiding something. Therefore, the astral world, the physical world, hang a little basket under the luminous balloon of the astral world. Just as many physical suns and moon roams in space, so there are also countless astral, solar, and stellar systems in the astral world. These planets have astral suns and moon more beautiful than the physical one. The astral luminaries resemble the aura borealis. The division of the waters means that God divided the subtle astral element above, the gross physical element that make up the earth under. The water or fine force in the astral world are hidden from the water of our gross forces into the physical world by the firmament of space. Therefore, it is space which is the veil, the screen, which prevents us to see through it. One day I saw a gigantic face of a woman in the sky. And I went to Sri Dayamata and said, Mother, it's strange. I thought it was Divine Mother, but I felt nothing. Oh, you just saw an astral being. I said, my God, how big are they? God. So we don't know where we are living. We are a miniature planet. You are so small, you can't believe it. That's like Twilight Zone. So for some of you who are physicists, I will leave the picture of a drop of electricity which has been found that electricity is a liquid. So you have the proof right there. In Pasadena Star News of May 20, 1975, University of California scientists said that they have photographed an electricity drop for the first time, confirming a 41 years prediction that electricity really is liquid that can drip like water. This truly is an entirely new state of matter, and we should know more about its behavior and history behind it. He separated the water from the water. They couldn't use the word electricity. He was separating the cosmic energy, not water. And now, the reason why the beautiful astral world is called heaven. The astral universe, made of various subtle vibrations above our earth, the dark physical prison. That is what our earth is called, a dark physical prison, where the saint cannot believe we are able to live and breathe in such incredibly heavy atmosphere. So gross is this planet. Have a nice day. The master don't say that to be negative. They are saying what Lord Krishna say, Arjuna, get out of my delusion, get out of here. All men walk on earth fully deluded, poisoned by thousand inexorable laws of nature. Get out of here. That's what God is saying to us. Therefore, the astral cosmos is more naturally attuned than the earth to the divine will and plan of perfection. It is infinitely beautiful, clean, pure, and orderly. Terrestrial blemishes, weeds, bacteria, disease are absent. Unlike the variable climates and season of the earth, the astral plane retains an even temperature of an eternal spring, with occasional luminous white snow and rain of many colored lights. When Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, he meant that there are various states of consciousness acquired during your life on earth, will be your passport to where you are going to be located. That is, the sum total of everything you have done has made you vibrate in a certain way, and you will be drawn magnetically into the various degrees of divine light you can stand and absorb. Now, that statement is an incredible statement. How much spiritual light can you absorb? When you sit down to meditate, how do you feel? Very restless and very uncomfortable. Why? Because the master said, the moment you sit down to meditate and look at the point between the eyebrows, suddenly trillions of specks of light from God begin to descend through His grace to reharmonize you. And how much light can you absorb into your body? Therefore, your passport will be your vibration at the end of your life. How much light have you absorbed during your present life will determine how bright, how much you can behold. I have had visions many times in my deep superconscious dream in which the light was so intense I could not look at it. It was like a thousand welding torch together. I could not behold it. It was too much for me. Therefore, how much light you have within you now will determine in which place you're going to go into the astral world. To sing again, to get a door of my heart open wide, I keep for thee, because all those things, you feel them first, then you know them. every technique of self-realization. The energizing, the Om technique, the Hongso technique, the Kriya technique, all those techniques help you to absorb daily more and more light into your cell, your human cells, until finally you raise your consciousness into the superior consciousness of the soul. And when you close your eyes, you will be like our president, who at the age of 15 years old, each time she closed her eyes, she saw nothing but the light of God. And she saw that great spiritual eye at all times with closed and open eyes. In the kingdom of cosmic consciousness or cosmic creation, there are many regions of different vibrations where soul dwells according to their earth acquired good or bad vibrations. No, a vibration you all know is energy in motion. As the fishes live in the water and men into the atmosphere, some planets in the airless regions, the Master said they are solar systems where people are so advanced in our physical creation, who live with cosmic energy and without breathing. They have no need to breathe. They advance more rapidly. And different human beings in different good or bad community, so soul in the after-death state lives in different vibratory regions according to their spiritual merits or demerits. Now remember, everything is impersonal in the creation. Everything is scientific. Everything deals with the cosmic laws of magnetism. Not your words, what you are saying, but your own vibration. Various spheric mentions of vibratory regions are provided for good and evil spirits. Good ones can travel freely, but the evil spirits are confined to limited zone. They are actually concentration camp in the astral world. And it is not very hard to believe it when you consider that in Berlin there is a wall who separates 225 million Russians to go anywhere. All the Russians actually are living in a vast concentration camp. They can't move anywhere. If I want to go to Texas, I would have to have a special permission from the government to go to Texas. So there it is over there. Therefore, the Master said, tramp souls or criminals are roaming through the ether by the millions. They are seeking rebirth, but because of bad karma, they are unable to reincarnate as soon as they deeply desire. Just as the fish cannot live in the air for long, so tramp soul must remain in gross vibratory luminous planets. If a tramp soul dare to approach the luminous planets from her subtle level, they would find themselves astrally electrocuted, that is, destroyed by a high voltage of astral energy. Here, in this planet, the good, the bad, and the ugly, we all live together. But in the astral world, no way, the good people don't have to protect themselves. The cosmic laws of karma have established an era where the evil people cannot enter, and they will be actually electrocuted. Therefore, they cannot enter, those evil spirits cannot enter, unless you make your mind vacant. When you smoke marijuana, when you take cocaine, take morphine, if you have exhausted your good karma, you have actually opening into your astral shield of your auric shield, and you can allow individual demon to enter into you. So don't touch drugs. You have no idea. The doctor can say all kind of things. Oh, it may not affect you, it may not be. But mind you, there is another power behind which you are not aware. You are opening doors to evil forces when you make your mind vacant. It's when there are many people today in mental asylum who are not crazy, but they are possessed by evil spirits. And that's a different matter. Therefore, there is astral hell for those who destroy the human body in war. For those who destroy our emotional life by their writing, their music, their movies. Those who destroy our mental life by false doctrines and ideology. And the worst of all, the lowest hell is reserved for those who mislead others on the spiritual path. There is no higher treachery than to use God to mislead people. Those are going to the lowest possible hell. And believe me, hell exists. Jesus spoke of it, Yogananda spoke of it, every master spoke of it. And mind you, cheer up, because you are not on the worst planet. There are worse places than ours. The Master say, among the fallen dark angels, expelled from other worlds. In other words, there are many solar systems, many galaxies, like in Star Wars, where endless war reigns. He say, among the fallen dark angels expelled from other worlds, frictions and war take place with lifetronic bombs or mental mentric vibratory rays. Thanks God we have not reached that yet. These beings dwell into gloom-drenched region of the lower astral cosmos, working out their evil karmas. They appear from time to time upon our Earth as destroyers, as Attila the Hun, Genghis Khan, Napoleon. Napoleon, which in Greek means the new destroyer. Interesting, isn't it? Napoleon in Greek, the new destroyer. So those evil, tremendously powerful evil people are invited on our planets by the massive mind who worship violence. When millions of minds begin to worship violence, they bring the embodiment of the fulfillment of that violence. That's why the movies which are being made in Hollywood can be extremely dangerous for the mass of people. Now, the good news. When you are born in astral world, there is no more goo-goo and gaga. That you are immediately reborn as you were when you were young. The masters say, no babyhood there. No pregnancy is necessary. Offspring are materialized by astral beings through the help of their cosmic will into specially condensed forms. The recently physically disembodied beings arrive in an astral family drawn by similar and spiritual tendencies. Now I'm talking about those of us who are going to be advanced spiritually. The other ones are going to sleep. They are going to be in a coma state and they will not know it. Are we awake immediately? When we enter into the astral world, are we conscious immediately? The Master says this depends upon your spiritual developments if you meditated while on earth. As a man sleeps for 8 to 12 hours a day, so many souls after death remain in a state of unconscious sleep for a little while or for a long time, according to this karma, his karma in earthly life. A restless and excitable soul often experience nightmare during a sleep, so also souls that led a confused and wicked life in their earthly life find themselves after death suffering astral nightmares. Souls with good karma alone are able to awake in the astral world. After their momentary sleep of death, most souls after sleeping the sleep of unconscious death wake up in the womb of a childbearing mother. Other souls who have led a spiritual life goes on and are transferred into astral planets where most of the limitations of Earth are non-existent. If you said to me, I don't want to be reincarnated again, then I have only one thing to say to you. Analyze what desire you have left in you, because if you have one desire, that desire it will bring you back in the human form. To not come back here. You must have absolutely no desire as a human being. I love cats. I love dogs. I love birds. I love nature. I love the roses. I love to be married. I love babies. One of them, you are back here. Free. We have a beautiful parrot over there. Brother Ramana, come on. Come and sit. I can't go and sit. You know why I can't go and sit? Because I fall in love with the fellow. The moment I look at an animal, I begin to fall in love with the animal, then I become attached to it. You say, well, then you are weak. Yeah, I'm weak, I admit it. But I fall in love with everything, therefore. You become attached to it and you are stuck. I had a cat, and it took me months to recover, you know, beautiful cats. And I must say, the astral body is the exact counterpart of the last physical form. Astral being retained the same appearance which they possessed in their youth, in their previous incarnation in earthly sojourn. So when I will see myself with hair, I know I've had it. Now, in case you don't like your face, you can do some specific modification. There's some plastic surgery. The masters say, beauty in the astral world is known to be a spiritual quality and not an outward conformation. Astral beings, therefore, attach little importance to a facial feature. They have the privilege, however, of costuming themselves at will with new, colorful, astrally materialized bodies. just as weary men don new array from gala events, so astral being find occasion to bedeck themselves with special design forms. So I can, if I want, I can look like Clark Gable or Errol Flynn or Terrence Power or Humphrey Bogart, you know. Now, what is interesting is that at that moment, our spiritual eye become partially open, and our, the sphere of consciousness, the chakras, are much more work efficient there than here. He said, the astral brain in which the omniscient 1,000 petalotus of light, which is in the astral brain, not the physical brain, is partially active. And 6 partially awakened centers of consciousness in the Sushumna, or astral cerebrospinal axis. A heart which draws cosmic energy and light from the astral brain and send them to the astral nerve and the body cells of life trons. They possess 3 eyes, 2 of them which are partially closed, and a 3rd intuitional eye on the forehead is vertically placed. It is partially open. Astral beings have all the outer sense organs which we have in the human body except the organ of reproductions, as there is no genetic need for birth. The astral being employs intuitional senses to experience sensation through any part of the astral body. They live in intuition. Now, what is interesting, that to be able to recognize your friend of the past, the master explained as follows. He said, the earth's liberated astral beings meets a multitude of relatives, fathers, mothers, wives, husbands, and friends acquired during different incarnations on earth, as they appear from time to time in various parts of the astral realm, is therefore at loss to understand whom to love especially. Can you imagine? You see about 20 different fathers, different mothers, different wives, different brothers and sisters, you know. He learned in this way to give a divine and equal love to all, as children and individualized expressions of God. Astral being knows a happy harmony and equality. Now, since people change bodies in different incarnations, they actually are not the same as you knew them. How are you going to recognize them? The Master explained as follows. He said, unerring intuitive perceptions give the power to recognize friends of the past, no matter what costume they wear or what their image is at the particular time, because every atom of creation is inextinguishably dared with individuality. An astral friend will be recognized no matter what costume he may don, even as on earth an actor identity is discoverable despite his disguise. Friend of others live happily, recognize one another in the astral world, rejoicing of the immortality of friendship. They realize the indestructibility of love, often doubted as the sad, delusive parting of earthly life. I know, because I have met many friends the other side, and I wish somebody could explain to me what I saw there. I was in Ireland. I was on bicycle there going. I knew I was in Ireland. And there I look, and there was an old man full of light with a tremendous smile in his face looking at me, recognized me. He recognized me, but me, I didn't recognize him except I knew. And he came to me and we danced together on a jig and we hit each other a knuckle like that, which I have never seen in any movie. I don't know who in the world would do a thing like that. But yeah, we were dancing and hitting each other's knuckle. And boy, that was real, man. That was, I tell you, when I woke up, I was really exalted. Who are and what are angels? Angel represents saints and divine friends from past lives who remember us and try to redeem us through silent suggestions of their presence. Some, we have friends, thank God, from the past, who've advanced faster than we did and are helping us invisibly. Now, wicked soul, now let's see, it seems sometimes that God has no compassion. It seems that God has no mercy. So cruel is this creation. Is the astral world as cruel? In other words, isn't that terrible? You work all your life, you die, you go in a state of coma, and next thing you know, you are back into the babyhood. Is there any mercy? So the Master says, wicked soul not only can repent of their evil ways in this life and can heal their evil burned life by the salve of inner wisdom and peace found in meditation, also in their after-death state, they can find redemption when they are awakened by the angels of God and are made to feel their astral existence in the astral world through inner repentance and buried good karma. How do you develop an attitude of repentance? Have you ever thought about it? Is that a guilty confession? No. Each time you do something wrong, before you do it, acknowledge it to God. Say, "My Lord, I can't help myself to do this thing wrong. Forgive me. Acknowledge I'm wrong, my Lord. Help me and save me from myself." That is repentance. And you will have no guilt, because you are, each time you do that, you are being forgiven. Each time you are confessing to God directly, each time you are being helped. That is a state of repentance. Therefore, evil soul usually die in unconsciousness, but after death, unconscious state is temporarily removed by angels of God. Souls suffering subconsciously in the fire of their own wicked tendencies have a chance to struggle and receive God consciousness by astral meditation and to shine forth as the pure sun of spirituality burning with God consciousness. Now, it is true that if you have not learned to meditate while on earth, you will have a hard time to make yourself meditate in the astral world, because it is so entrancing over there, you won't meditate, you want to enjoy the place. Therefore, what kind of being lives in the astral world? There are two kinds of people: those who still have earthly karma to dispose of and must therefore re-inhabit a gross physical body in order to pay their karmic debt, as the human body is the ransom for your soul freedom. All of us now have been caught by the terrorists here on this planet, and we are paying our ransom on that body for our soul's freedom, the Master said. So he said, those who still have karma could be classified after physical death as temporary visitors to the astral land, rather than the established residents. Staying there with unredeemed karma, shuttled to and fro from the physical and astral world, only conscious successively of their physical form and the astral body. That means when you are in a physical form, you forget completely you were in the astral world. And when you are in the astral world, you forget completely that you were ever in a physical form. You are unconscious one way or the other. Therefore, while you are on earth every night, before you go to sleep, you look at the point between the eyebrows, the technique the Master gave, and you learn to go in, out, in, out, in the subconscious world and out, in the astral world and out. You learn to do that at will. And it is tremendous, because the astral world, the moment you go into it, is as real as this one, as tangible as this one. There's no difference. When you are in it, you don't know you're in it. You go back into the physical world, you know vaguely you were in this astral world. Then you go back and forth until you get used to it. Those are techniques given to you in the lessons. Therefore, after each loss of his physical body, however, undeveloped beings from the earth remain from the most part in a deep stupor of the death sleep and are hardly conscious of the beautiful astral sphere. After the astral rest, such a man returns to the material world for further lessons, gradually accustoming himself to the repeated journey to the world of subtle astral texture. It gradually goes into higher and higher light. It is why friendship is a great divine quality, my dear. Have as many friends you can, because you don't know which friend is going to help you one day to get out of the hole we have dug for ourselves. To have friends on the other side is really worthwhile. Now, how long can we remain there? A person dwells on an astral planet for a period whose length is determined by the nature of his material karma, which inexorably drawn him back to the terrestrial realm at a lawfully fixed time. With mathematical exactitude, you are reborn in time, past, present, future exist simultaneously. You can be reborn in the past, or you can have advanced so much in this lifetime, you'll be reborn in future civilizations, which are now being enacted on the cosmic screen of creation. Past, present, future, our physicists tell you, all exist simultaneously. Therefore, he said here, a person dwells until he is being called in exile. The average time of an astral embodiment for somewhat advanced being is from 500 to 1,000 years, measured in earthly terms. Exceptional person lives on an astral sphere about 2,000 years. It's a lot of birthday card. 2,000 years in the astral world. What kind of desire can be fulfilled? Astral desires center around enjoyment in terms of vibrations. Astral beings enjoy the ethereal music of the spheres and are entranced by the sight of all creation, an exhaustless expression of changing lights. Astral desires are thus connected with an astral being power to precipitate all objects and experience as form of light or as condensed thoughts of dreams. The astral being also smell, taste, and touch light in the astral world. You want a house, you visualize that house, and that house is being built right in front of you. This such is the power God has given us over there. Anything you want in the astral world, as long as it is lawful, healthy, and moral, you can materialize it. Food? No, there is no French restaurant over there. Unless I cook for you. The astral being eat luminous, ray-like vegetables abound in the astral world. The astral being consume vegetables and drink a nectar flowing from glorious fountain of light and from astral brook and rivers. Can our friends see us here now? Can our father, our mother, those we have loved see us there? The intuitional power of astral beings pierce through the veil of physical vibrations and observe human activities on earth. But man cannot view the astral world unless his intuition is somewhat developed. Thousands of earth dwellers have momentarily glimpsed an astral being or an astral world. I'm sure that many among you have seen an astral being at one time or the other. It's happened here, right here, many times. Now comes the importance of your daily spiritual development meditation. I'm about to say, in the astral world, people develop through the goodwill of others, and especially when they are spiritual during their earthly life. If you meditate deeply now, no matter where you are, when you go to the astral world, you will, through the force of habit, remember to meditate, and you will thereby develop on that plane faster than other soul who had not learned to meditate during their earthly sojourn. Therefore, your meditation is the most powerful passport for you to advance rapidly in the astral world and not come back here. You can be free in the astral world of human desire through meditation. The system of communication among the residents of the astral world is affected entirely by telepathy and astral television. The confusion and misunderstanding caused on earth by open and written word are unknown in the astral realm. Using the vehicle of astral light, they travel from planet to planet at the speed of 500 million miles per second. To give you an idea how big is our space, at that speed it will still take 280 years to go to the nebula of Andromeda, our closest galaxy. At 500 million miles per second, still 280 years. So it gives you an idea the difference of world. Now heaven or the astral kingdom is our better home. Those who have searched within have found amazing truths. You should develop your intuition and then you will see. Live in heaven and be there now by a deep concentration upon peace and calmness. By increasing the intensity of your concentration and depth of your calmness, you can be aware of the higher astral planes. Many times I've seen astral world during the at night, in deep vision, and there is no reason why you couldn't do either, and I'm sure you did. And you recognize it by the intensity of the color. And when they see you can touch light, it's incredible. Suppose you are looking at a mountain about 10 miles away. Suddenly the mountain is right in front of you, or you have moved to the mountain, I don't know which one. You get a mountain, then it's right there, you're right in the front. And you can feel the atmosphere over there. It's so dense, yet so subtle. And such a beauty. The master says, thanks God, you don't know it. You would want to get rid of yourself. When they would say, Master, can you give me samadhi, ecstasy? I said, no, you're not ready. If I do that and I take it away from you, you would destroy yourself. There is no disease but accident. In other words, we still work out our violent karma. But accidents are still possible. The ethereal body may occasionally be cut or bruised, but it is healed at once by a mere willing, They effect instant transformation in their bodies and other objects by using lifetronic force and matrix vibration. They use the Om vibration to heal themselves. Now here is the gate. The Master said the gate to the kingdom of heaven is at the point between the eyebrows. The first step toward true freedom is to penetrate the heavenly astral world. Just as astronomy brought another world or planet and stars in view, so spiritual astronomy will bring into view another world. That is, a more perfect world. That telescope is your spiritual eye in the center of your forehead. Long concentration on the liberating spiritual eye enables the yogi to destroy all delusion concerning matter and its gravitational weight. He sees the universe as the Lord created it, as an essentially undifferentiated mass of light. That is why Saint Philip Neri, a 16th century Italian saint, he would say to all those, here is heaven, right here. And he would point his finger at the point between the eyebrows. And every Christian saint, you see, when you see their painting, their eyes are up, locked up at the point between the eyebrows. You can say, I have a beautiful picture of Saint Rita Cassia. When I pray quite often, she's for the hopeless case. And you have Christ on the cross, she's on the knees, and from the forehead of Christ to her forehead, a huge beam of light joined both of them. Now, they don't know what it means, but we do. So, when Jesus said to in Matthew 16, 13, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give thee the key of heaven, and the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And that, my dear, is the science of Kriya Yoga. All the masters, including Jesus, gave to their disciples high technique of meditation. This is why the master said, when you practice Kriya, you are on the highway to the infinite, the spinal highway to the infinite, when a sensation will come into your spine, the joy of the whole world will be with you. I cannot describe to you what will happen to you. The joy of all hearts is yours. That you will feel into your spine. And he called the spiritual eye your portable paradise. Therefore, as you learn to meditate, you are doing something which no other human being on this planet does. You are taking two currents, which in Japanese and Chinese, yin and yang, the positive and negative currents of duality. And you place them both at the point between the eyebrows. Then, you begin to charge your body no more with electromagnetic energy, but with lifetronic energy endowed of Christ consciousness. Each time, with your physical eye, you lift your eye at the point between the eyebrows. There are three related states of consciousness the way you hold your physical eye. You close your eyes, they go downward, you fall asleep. You are dead, you are in a subconscious mind. When the eye is straight, you are in a conscious mind, endless thinking process connected with the memory bank of the subconscious mind. But when you turn your attention and your eye here, therefore you are the presence of God. That's why Jesus said, see that light which is in thee be not darkness. And if thine eye be single, thy body shall be full of light. Therefore you have to cultivate that awareness of your spiritual eye by daily meditation. There is no other way. And Jesus made it very clear when he said, if thine eye offend thee, pluck them out. He didn't say to gouge out your eyes. He said, it is better for thee to enter into heaven with one eye. Now, he just told you to put both eyes out. But he said to you, you should have one eye to enter into heaven. So, illogical, isn't it? So, what Jesus meant is that great spiritual eye which every human being has. You see? Like Moses, and Moses lifted the serpent in the wilderness. He didn't take a rattlesnake. He moved the kundalini, that cold power of his spine, in a complete wilderness of withdrawal from the external world, and met God there. So, my dear, everything is waiting for us. But the effort is requested to prepare our body to ascend to a higher level of consciousness, and that depends entirely upon each individual. Where do you want to go? And how do you know how many days, how many weeks, how many months you have to live? You don't know. Now imagine the state of consciousness you are now, and you're going to find yourself in a similar arrangement the other side. Do you like where you are now? Do you like the kind of life living among the barbarians? No. You want to be harmonious, you want to be among beautiful people, uplifting people, righteous people, who constantly make you feel wonderful. Don't you? There is nothing more beautiful to see people who are enthusiastic in life, who are smiling, who are happy, who are content, who are fulfilled. Where do you find such people? Only those who know God.